Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. Here's your host, Dr. D. Richard Ferguson.
Elijah knew for a fact that God was going to send rain. He was so sure he even told the king that it was guaranteed. And yet, after he said that to the king, he prayed earnestly 7 times, begging God to send rain. Why pray so hard for something you know for sure is going to happen? Think about a woman giving birth. If it's not time for the baby to come yet, then there's no way she's going to make it come, right? She can push and push all she wants. Nothing, that baby's not coming. But one day, I mean, she's going through pregnancy, she gets into the 9th month, and then one day, the day comes where those contractions start, and they're getting close, and now they're every 3 minutes, and the water breaks and all that. Now, labor started. Now, at that point, is there any question that the baby's coming? No. It's coming. It is coming. It's not like a 50-50 deal. I mean, if you're putting bets on it, the baby's coming. So, if that's true, if it's 100% chance the baby's coming, we know for sure it's coming, then doesn't matter what the woman does, right? Doesn't matter. I mean, why not just relax and let it happen? Why put forth any exertion if you know it's going to happen? This is one of the rare times in life where you know for sure what's going to happen. And so why not just light a couple candles, pick up a good book, enjoy a nice relaxing evening, and since this is going to happen no matter what you do. Here's why. It's because it's going to happen. It's going to happen. But what takes place between now and when that baby arrives is called what? Labor. Labor. There's a reason for it's a time when you know what's going to happen, but what, if you know for sure it's going to happen, why is it called labor? It's called labor because when God will bring a baby, it's God who brings that baby. But the way that God gets it done is through the most intensive ordeal known to mankind, right? Yeah, the baby's going to come for sure, but the way it's going to come is through the mother's labor. It's going to be maybe some of the most difficult hours of her life. The fact that it's going to happen for sure doesn't mean her actions are irrelevant, right? Her actions are what cause it. Her muscles contracting, all of that stuff that her body does, that's the only way, that excruciating effort is the only way it's going to happen. And that's similar to the way that God brings about His will through prayer. If it's not God's timing, then no amount of human effort is going to make it happen, right? But when it is His time, very often He'll bring it about only by means of an inescapable pressure laid on the heart of one of His saints that drives that person to arduous prayer, like giving birth to a baby. And that thing that God wants to do is not going to happen until that saint or that group of saints push and push and push with all their strength and almost die to bring that about. You know, I think it's likely that in Nehemiah's time there was someone else besides Nehemiah who also really had a burden for the rebuilding of the wall in Jerusalem. Had a burden for it, but seemed impossible, seemed out of the question, and he just put it out of his mind. Or maybe he prayed for it for a little while. He prayed a little bit, but without much passion, without much faith, without much perseverance, and then gave up after a while. God wanted to rebuild that wall. He had decided He was going to rebuild that wall, but only through prayer. And so God waited until there was a man who was ready to go through the ringer in prayer to be the instrument of God's plan. So maybe the key to really passionate prayer starts with getting pregnant with some seed of God's will. Something that will implant itself inside you and grow and develop and build until it gets to the point where it drives you to your knees in heavy labor and in prayer until that baby comes. That's the way Paul was with the Galatians. In Galatians 4:19, he said, "My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you." That's not just a reference just to Paul's prayers either. That's talking about his work as well. I mean, he prayed and he worked. He prayed ceaselessly and tirelessly, but then he rolled up his sleeves and he actually worked. Prayerless work will accomplish nothing. A.J. Gordon says you can do more than pray after you prayed, but you can never do more than pray until you've prayed. You got that? You can do more than pray after you've prayed, but you can never do more than prayer before you've prayed. It'll be powerless. Sometimes prayer is what it takes to get you to work. Work without prayer is powerless, but prayer will push you to work, right? It'll push you to work. If I keep on praying, Lord, please bring comfort to my discouraged brother. Comfort him, Lord, comfort him. Please send somebody to bring some words of comfort to. Sooner or later, I'm just like, oh, maybe I should say something say some words of comfort to the guy. If I'm just like, God, please send someone to reach my neighbor, bring my neighbor to Christ, let him be saved, Lord. Eventually, I'm going to be like, maybe I should just share the gospel with my neighbor. Right? The more you pray for something, the more you make yourself available to be the answer to your own prayers, the tool that God uses to answer your prayers.
Is there something you've been praying for but not working for? Think through whether your actions match what you claim to care about in your prayers. Are there any prayers you've been praying, requests that God may be willing and ready to grant, but not until you become willing to be the instrument He uses to bring that answer? And on the other side, is there anything you've been working hard for but haven't been praying for? Remember, you can't do more than pray until after you've prayed. Are there some efforts you're making in your life, energy you're expending, that might not get any real traction until you've really poured out your soul in earnest prayer for that project? Father, unless you build a house, my efforts to build it will be in vain. And if I pray my heart out asking you for the house, those prayers may be in vain if you want me to be the one you use as a builder, and I'm not willing. Teach me to support everything I do with the foundation of prayer, and then to bring all my efforts into line with what I pray. Unless you, Lord, watch over the city, the watchman stands guard in vain. In vain I rise early and stay up late, toiling for food and income, if I don't have your blessing. You grant sleep to those you love. I can't even rest without your help. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. In my heart I plan my course, but you determine my steps. You've called me to plant seeds and water them, but you make things grow. The horse is made ready for the day of battle, but victory rests with you. Father, show me which of my prayers I need to work harder to see the fulfillment, and show me which of my efforts are unfruitful because I haven't labored in prayer.
Thank you for listening. If you found today's episode edifying, why not share it with a friend? This season of the Food for Your Soul podcast features excerpts from our sermon series on the book of James. 50 expository sermons covering every verse. You can find those and hundreds of other sermons for free download on drichardferguson.com. And if you like listening on your phone, get our free mobile app. Install the Church One app from the Play Store and select Food for Your Soul.
Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.